How will inflation affect my kids?
Google products are designed to prioritize quality information, so you can find news you can trust. Learn how Google supports news in Canada at g.co/news in Canada.
The free-for-all round table. Round two.
On round two, let's say good morning to Bob Richardson, Senior Counsel at National Public Relations. Lindsay Broadhead is here, Senior Vice President of the Toronto Region Board of Trade. And Deb Hutton, former senior, everyone's a senior, former senior advisor to two premiers, now a communications advisor. Good morning to you all. Happy Monday. Hope it was a fantastic weekend. Let's start with the fact that the X is opening on the 19th, and the union is insisting, the union represents people who do inspections, is insisting that other people replacing them may, he chose his words carefully because he said liability issue, but, aren't the same people. Let's just put it that way. They don't necessarily have the exact same expertise. A spokesperson for the Technical Standards and Safety Authority said, yeah, that's true, because some of them have more paper. Christian Wong Tam, just to set the table before I turn this over to you, and I'll start with you, Deb. Christian Wong Tam, who is now an MPP for Toronto Centre, said on Twitter, I'm just nervous that there isn't anybody really watching and taking care of those facilities and that equipment. That's not terribly responsible, is it?
It's ridiculously irresponsible, quite frankly. Listen, if the workers cared so much about safety at the CNE, they wouldn't be on strike. I don't think anybody has any tolerance for unions in particular, which this is, public sector unions going on strike. We haven't had the CNE for 2 years. People are desperate to go out and enjoy it, and this is how the workers are acting. Pox on all their houses, quite frankly. And I agree. Maybe we won't need the union anymore. Maybe we will find out that the private sector workers who can do this job will do it far better.
Okay, Lindsay Broadhead, your thoughts. Is Lindsay there? Has she muted herself? 2.5 years into this whole craziness. Did we lose Lindsay? Okay, well, I'll go to Bob and we can try and get things worked out with Lindsay. Bob, have we lost them too? Okay, Deb, it's you and me.
I think I said what I can say.
No, then I'll keep moving. I'm suddenly terrified that you were gone as well. And I thought, okay,
I'm here.
Back to the show. We'll see if we can find Lindsay and Bob Richardson. Sometimes this kind of stuff crops up. Let me ask you, Deb, and you and I can just talk together if we don't find our other two, I was going to say contestants, but there's no prizes here. Daniel Medvedev, the Russian tennis player, was called a loser after he lost a match in Montreal. The suspicion is this wasn't somebody heckling him because he just lost a match, but that somebody wanted to kind of pick a fight with a Russian national. If a Russian national, especially a celebrity or a sports figure, is in our midst, are we required to be polite?
We're not required to be polite. And most people who are watching sports seem to think it's okay to crap on people who are either professional or semi-professional sports folks, even though I think most of the people who say nasty things probably couldn't do any or even a quarter of what our athletes do. So, no, we're not required to be polite. However, when you are in the public eye, I don't care whether you're in politics or sports or media, you get paid very well. And part of that is to have a thick skin. And part of that is for you not to respond regardless, or to respond in a measured way, which is not what happened here.
We think we've got Bob and Lindsay back. Let me double check. We'll take attendance. Lindsay Broadhead?
Bueller. We are having a technical problem with Zoom. We apologize.
Okay. Well, you know what? Let's leave it alone and Deb and I can have a good time. Deb has been a co-host before. She knows how this whole thing works. Deb, I'm not sure if you saw the video of Medvedev, but what's interesting is somebody called him a loser and he reels around and he goes back and says, excuse me, what did you say? And we can't hear everything. But it looks like he decided, no, I'm not just going to wear that as I walk out of the room. I'm going to find out who said it and I'm going to pick a fight.
Yeah, and that's just wrong. You know, listen, John, if you or I, when I'm co-hosting, took everything that the tech support says to heart,
oh my.
Like, exactly. Like, there's when you are in the public eye in any way, shape, or form, part of your job is to put up with it, quite frankly. And that doesn't mean that you have to take comments or texts that are over the top, that border on hate. But honestly, somebody being called a loser when they're a sports figure, if you can't take that, then you're in the wrong business.
Let's talk about Adrian Clarkson's column, which, as I think Bob Reed pointed out, cribs largely from a speech she won. Gave, but it was a darn good speech. It was all about who is in the tomb of the unknown soldier. And she says, of course we don't know. That's the whole point. And then she wonders, you know, did he come from the prairies? Did he come from the Saguenay? It's all very poetic and lyrical. And then she gets to sort of the contention she raises off the top, Deb, which is the recent spectacle of the desecration of the war memorial in Ottawa and the defilement of the tomb of the unknown soldier is a display of ignorance at best and stupidity at worst. One more paragraph here, because this is the windup. That the memorial to the selfless sacrifice of over 100,000 Canadians should be a vaudeville stage for loudmouthed ignoramuses using the word freedom when they're actually taking away fellow citizens' liberty by occupying and fouling community space is repugnant. Okay, is that over the top and undignified for a former governor general, or the good kick in the pants that some people deserve?
I actually think it's extremely dignified for her to speak out. And it took a long, long time, John. But I now have something where Adrian Clarkson and I can agree.
Yeah, the let's put it mildly, the lack of interest in Adrian Clarkson is somewhat widespread in some circles. I've always liked her, but I grew up watching The Fifth Estate. But worth noting before we move to some other things, she is the Colonel-in-Chief of Princess Patricia's Canadian Light Infantry, and the soldiers adored her because she would spend her Christmas with soldiers in the field. These images of wildlife, which unfortunately we can't share because they wanted money, but I think all of our panelists have seen them. Images of wildlife, birds being strangled on discarded masks and fish entangled in them, a hedgehog all wrapped up in a mask. It's just more signs of the sort of disregard I think we have for the natural habitat that we, and I think also the legacy of COVID, which is going to be so much more pollution than there would have been.
Yeah, but John, so, I mean, my kids, both being in school, I mean, both of them have done projects on plastics, for example, and the new rules that we have because of straws and all kinds of things harming, in particular, ocean life. And it is, it's tragic and it's awful, and it does make us feel just so sad, or at least I think most people feel so sad for these animals and birds and fish. But we seem to go overboard in how we react to it. This is a case of litter in many cases. When you're talking about masks, it's a case of litter. And honest to goodness, maybe we up the fines for general littering, because nobody should have to tell us what to do with our disposable masks. You dispose of them the way you dispose of other garbage, which should be in recycling bins or garbage bins. So I get it, and they're awful images. I just feel like we do this overkill, and part of the article was, you know, government didn't do a good enough job of telling us how to dispose of these things. It shouldn't be government's job to do that. We should all know how to do this stuff. Don't put your straw on the beach when you're walking past. I find that we attack the wrong part of the problem, as opposed to, say, upping fines, as I said, for littering, no matter what it is or where it is.
Yeah. I would think it's too bad we can't share these images, because I think if people saw the damage that was being done, they'd be a lot more attentive about their littering. I think littering is like this indifferent act where you drop your mask and, okay, that's it. I'll leave it there. And so I don't think it's mendacious. I just think it's so casual. So if people could see this
lazy
damage. Yeah.
Lazy?
Oh, very, very lazy. Beyond lazy. I was going to use an expression I'm not allowed to use on the radio. Just for fun, I know that everybody spent the weekend watching this over and over and over again, but you actually know the guy. So I think this was a wonderful moment for Doug Ford. Swallowing a bee was probably not a wonderful moment, but his response was so hilarious, and I think it endeared him to even more people.
There's always solutions that we have to move forward. But not coming from the government per se, but the holy Christ! I just swallowed a bee.
Oh my!
Holy Christ! I knew that little bugger. Oh. I'm good. He's down here buzzing around right now.
And over the weekend, somebody actually created a Twitter account for the bee. It's been updating us on what's inside Doug Ford. But you're a comms person. You worked with two premiers. What do you make of that crazy moment?
Well, I have to say this broke while I was co-hosting The Rush on Friday. And my goodness, we had so much fun with it. From a comms perspective, you can't plan these things. You couldn't script this. It is genuine Doug Ford reaction. And what you heard, the part that came just after the last part of that clip, John, is him saying there was a lot of real estate down there. In other words, talking about his tummy.
Yeah.
And that is just pure self-deprecating Doug Ford. So whether you like him or not, you had to love his reaction. And again, you couldn't plan for something like this. When I was traveling with Premier Harris, it was around the time that Kachin got hit in the face with a pie. So we planned for that stuff, right? I carried a towel for I don't know how long in my purse in case the premier got hit in the face with a pie. And so then you think, what would you say to that? And how would the premier react? And all those good things. But swallowing a bee, not on that top 20 list of things that could go wrong on a tour.
Did you actually run the premier through thinking about how he would react? You know, because he could have easily punch somebody out, but you got to remind yourself you're still the premier.
Yeah, we didn't run it through, but we knew exactly what we were going to do, how he was going to respond. I forget the line that he had in his head. And again, I carried a towel so that he wasn't walking around with it. Really, they were whipped cream. It wasn't a pie. It was actually just a whole whack of whipped cream, I think, that Kretchen got. So yeah, part of my tour kit was carrying a towel in case of a flying pie.
So the Ford Motor Company, Dev, has taken out a patent, and an automated or autonomous vehicle would alert your phone, if you have the right app, that you're about to be run over. I think this is kind of an upside down way of handling people, you know, and cars.
So I read this morning, and I'm thinking to myself, like visualizing it in my mind, and I'm thinking, how does this happen? Because part of the problem in terms of timing, right? Like it has to be split second. Part of the problem I think we have is that we have too many pedestrians on their phones. When there's someone that is completely oblivious to me, 9 times out of 10, whether I'm driving or walking, it's because they're on their phone. And now Ford wants to give them a new excuse to be on their phone in case they get hit. But the problem is they're on their phone, which makes them more likely to get hit. So I had a real struggle with sort of visualizing how this would help as opposed to hinder.
An interesting thing I heard, I think, on a Malcolm Gladwell podcast was the notion that if autonomous cars are programmed to stop for pedestrians, then pedestrians are going to have freedom of the street again.
Oh, it's so true, right? It's like some zombie walking kind of thing that you can visualize. People just decide, hey, it'll stop for me, so I'm going to cross in the middle of the road.
Deb, thanks for being here and for offering 100% content instead of 33%, because I hope the other two guys are okay, but it was good to have you on. I always enjoy our conversations.
It was like a second morning brief this week, John.
There you go. Deb Hutton, former advisor to two premiers.
Catch the round table. Round 1 at 7:45, round 2 at 8:45. Weekday mornings on More in the Morning, News Talk 1010.
How will inflation affect my kids?
What are the best road trips this summer?
What's the latest on the cost of living? Google helps you find the facts. Our products are designed to prioritize quality information, so you can find news you can trust. Learn how Google supports news in Canada at g.co/news in Canada.